as he was making his announcement, I was thinking, it was 1970 that I joined the temple in Boston, so this makes year number 38. Some of you are 38 years old. Some of you are less than 38 years old. Some of you are more than 38 years old. That's a lot of time to fully dedicate. And very, very rewarding. So, as we did yesterday evening, back to basic, we just spoke about chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Nameva Kevalam. The holy name of the Lord is everything. So side by side with the chanting of the holy name, Prabhupada gave us a very many simple analogies to understand how the process of devotional service works. He gave the example of a train. And a train moves on two tracks. Unless you have the more modern monorail, the conventional trains move on two tracks. And if one track of the train is missing, we have a problem. The train doesn't go. It will fall over, capsize. Then you have a train. Similarly, Prabhupada explained that the process of devotional service has these two tracks. That is, some means of purifying the heart, and that means for us, for purifying the heart, is what we were just doing. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, according to the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's Chaita Dharpana Marjanam, the cleansing of the mirror of the heart by chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Sri Krishna Sankirtana Param Vijayate. Sri Krishna Sankirtana. So the cleansing of the heart. The other track is that which gives direction to our life. That which purifies and strengthens and spiritualizes the intelligence. That's spiritual teachings, so it can have proper direction. Prabhupada explained this way. If we have means that makes the heart become pure without proper direction, then that means of worship or prayer or practice that makes the heart pure, without proper direction, it can become sentimentalism, and in extreme case, fanaticism. So we see in the world the result of fanaticism, and it's not pretty, it's not good at all. So the other side is proper direction to our activities of life. So scripture provides that direction, but if someone has study of the scripture, they have knowledge or attempt to approach spiritual life by cultivation of knowledge, but the heart is not pure, doesn't go very far. It results simply in mental speculation. You want everybody to move forward? Could everybody move forward just a bit? And that is, the reason is when people come a little bit fashionably late, then they can get in the back and besides, this is one of them. You can see everybody better. Okay. So, knowledge alone is not enough. And the means for cleansing the heart alone is not enough. We need both things. So our primary means for cleansing the heart in this age, according to the scripture, is chanting of the holy name. The nice verse from the scriptures, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nash Keva, Nash Keva, Nash Keva, Gatiranita. That's an easy one to remember, because it's repeated three times. And the rule in Sanskrit, when something is repeated three times, just like we did last night, Satyam, Satyam, Param, Satyam, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. Repeated three times, it's for absolute emphasis, even in conversation. If you say, I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling you the truth, it's like, whoa. In Sanskrit, it means absolute. Not just pay attention, but absolute. A special emphasis. So, the chanting of the holy name, Kalo, in this age of Kali, Na Asi Eva. Na Asi Eva. There is no other, there is no other, there is no other, indicating in Satyug there's a process recommended, the process of Dhyan, the process of meditation. And for achieving spiritual perfection, those who are seeking for spiritual perfection, they would apply that process. And in the following yuga, during the yuga of Ramachandra and Treta Yuga, the process of yajna, just as the sages were performing their yajnas in the forest and Dandakaranya, therefore Ram was needed to go and the Rakshasas were harassing the Brahmanas performing their yajnas. Yajna was the means of achieving perfection, accompanied by mantra and sacred fire. And the following yuga, Dwarpa yuga, the archana process of deity worship, also accompanied by dhyana and also accompanied by yajna, but primarily with archana, deity worship. And in this age, the principal means for achieving spiritual perfection is Harinam, the chanting, the calling of God's holy name. And it's worth noting, it's not only in the Vedic tradition, but all the traditions of the world have this emphasis upon chanting of the holy name. Even I was once visiting at Cornell University, and the way that where they held the program at Cornell was they called the International Lounge. And you know, Cornell's an Ivy League school, and it's big, impressive stone building, very, very old. And so we met in the student center in the International Building. In the International Lounge, had pictures of Buddhists from ancient days, very, very ancient paintings of Buddhists. You could tell by how they were dressed. I looked carefully at each one of them, and they all had little mala in their hands. So, not only Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Buddhists, the major traditions of the world, they have the same methodology, calling of mantra, sacred sounds, and the most sacred of all sounds is the sound of God's holy name. So combining that process is to be combined with the sacred teachings, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita at the end of the 18th chapter, one who studies the sacred conversation is worshipping me with his intelligence. Remember this? You bring your intelligence to the Supreme Pure, your intelligence becomes pure, or purified, by that contact. And when the intelligence becomes purified, then there's a possibility to discern the object, Krishna. The object of the message of Bhagavad Gita. Vedaish desire vaya aham eva vedyo vedanta krishna vedeva chamo. Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva shachaham riddhi sani vishto matak smithir gyanam apohanam cha vedaish desire vaya aham eva vedyo. The purpose of all the Vedas, what's the purpose of the Vedas? Krishna declares, to know him. In that verse, 15:15, Bhagavad Gita, that's the purpose of the Vedas, to know Krishna. And Krishna then says, Vedanta Krit, Vedavit, Eva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedas, as it has this expansion, Veda Vyas. He compiled the Vedas, and Vedavit, he knows the Vedas. When you write something, you know the purpose of that which you've written, yes? The author of something knows the purpose of that which he's written. Ask the author. Krishna said, I'm the author. By my expansion, Veda Vyas, what's the purpose? To know me. And I know the purpose of the Vedas. To know me. So it's an invitation to know Krishna, to love Krishna, is the way to know Krishna. So I wanted to spend some time discussing one of my favorite literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, even more than Krishna discloses himself in Bhagavad Gita, he discloses himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, or he's disclosed by the author, Vyas. Krishna's addressed in Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavan. And Bhagavan means, according to Parashara Muni, found in Padma Purana, Parashara Muni says that Bhagavan, meaning of Bhagavan, is one who possesses all opulences, or Bhaga, in fullness. And the term Van means one who possesses, like Acharya Van, one who has a spiritual master. Acharyavan Purusho Veda, the Shruti mantras say, one who has a spiritual master, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, they know the Supreme Person. Or that's the duty of one who has a spiritual master, is to know who is the Supreme Person. And one who does have a spiritual master receives that understanding of the Supreme Person. So, Bhagavan is one who possesses, according to Parashara Muni, all opulences in full. All bhagas. So he indicates there are six principal. The opulences of God are unlimited, but there are six principal opulences. All knowledge, all strength, all beauty, all fame, all strength, and the last one, all renunciation. Although he has all these things, he's detached from all these things. All renunciation. So I won't spend time in giving examples of how Krishna is Bhagavan. Prabhupada made the point. Vyasa didn't write Sri Krishna Uvacha, although he could have. He could have made many persons of the name Krishna. I know some persons named Krishna, but they're not Bhagavan. But Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is Bhagavan. So Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So there's this word Bhagavan, and then there's this word Bhagavat. Bhagavat, like this is Bhagavat Purana, that which is in relation to Bhagavan. There's a nice verse in the second chapter where Vyasadeva writes, nashta prayeshu ambandreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uchma shoki bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Very nice verse. That verse is saying, nashta means destroyed, prayeshu means almost completely, abhadreshu, abhadra. There's bhadra, and there's abhadra. And then there's subhadra. Subhadra is the sister of Krishna and Balaram. Subhadra. Bhadra is auspicious. And abhadra is the opposite, inauspicious. So, nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu, those things in the heart that are inauspicious, undesired, unwanted, the contaminations of heart, are nashta, destroyed. Prayeshu, almost completely. How? Nityam bhagavata sevaya. By rendering service unto? Nitya means, literally means always, and Prabhupada explains, it can mean regularly. Regularly means something that you do as a practice, like every day. Like, you know, you get up in the morning and you take a bath and brush your teeth and you do some things nitya on a regular basis. You cook. You feed your families. You go to work. You do certain things on a regular basis. So on a, literally means always, but at least regularly, nityam bhagavata sevaya. So, there's Bhagavan and there's Bhagavata. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. So there's two Bhagavatas. Here's one. Bhagavata Purana. The scripture, Purana, the history of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. This is Bhagavata Purana. And you know what the other type of Bhagavata is? There's the book Bhagavata, and there is a person. Bhagavata. The person Bhagavata is that person who they carry this message of Vedas within their heart. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadhava. By the process of hearing and chanting, they bring within their heart this message. They internalize this message. They live the message of Bhagavata Dharma. That's the person, Bhagavata. So nityam Bhagavata sevaya. By rendering service to the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata, all that is inauspicious in the heart is cleansed away. That's the message of Bhagavata Dharma. So let's do it one more time. There are things in our hearts that we're not comfortable with. We wish that there were some things, that impure things in our heart would go away. And it's hard to make them go away, so get out of there. They don't go away like that. And then we can sometimes try discussing with one devotee. In the last few days, there's some things that I find in my life I don't like, and I'm trying to remove them. They're not going away. What do I do? Nashta prayeshu vipreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So, devotion, when those abhadras are removed, that which is within the heart awakens. It's already there. Bhakti, love, not only bhakti, in its pure, mature stage, prema, the mature stage of bhakti is already there. The seed is already there. Yes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches like that. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavanam Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Kariyama. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Love for Krishna. All over the world and all nations, all cultures, all languages, all races, all types of people are becoming Krishna bhaktas. Not just people born in India. People of all cultures. Come to India. Come to the Mayapur festival sometime. And you'll see. In the Kirtan, there are people from China, people from Africa, people from the Philippines, people from Hong Kong, people from America, people from Canada, people from Australia, people from all parts of the world, chanting together, singing, Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana, Jai Radha Madhava. And then it's the time for Bhagavatam class. The person is giving class in English because it's an English medium temple. But over there is the Chinese class, and over there is the Japanese class, and over there is the German class, and the Polish class, this and that, there's like, you know, it's the United Nations. Why? Because Krishna is in the heart, and love for Krishna is in the heart. And how does that love for Krishna come out? Bhaktir bhavati naishiki. Comes out naturally, just by this hearing and chanting process. And then applying that which we have heard practically in life. So I wanted to discuss three verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Those of you that have Bhagavatam in your home, you can look them up later. It's Canto 1, Chapter 7, Texts 4, 5, and 6. The reason for picking those three verses express the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in his one. It's a statement by Sutta Goswami, or by Vyasadeva, of what was the realization of Vyasadeva under the order of Narada Muni to undergo a trance of meditation as he did in his previous life. Vishnu Gaudiya was speaking about this very briefly last night. Narada Muni in his previous life was an obscure nobody. He was the son of a maidservant. And he had the association of great souls, Bhakti Vedantas. And through their association during the 4 months of the rainy season, he heard, he served, and he became purified. And he continued that practice after they left, and he became a perfected soul and saw the personality of Godhead face to face. And continued through the rest of his life, and in his next life became Narada. So as Narada had done, he instructed Vyasa, you should do. Because that's why you give instruction. You don't say, don't do what I do, but do what I say. Try that with your children and see how far it goes. Even when you do, it doesn't go so far, but if you... Anyway, it's the Acharya principle. You teach by example. So Narada showed by his own example how he achieved perfection. And then he instructed Vyas, do the same with complete trance of devotion, devotional meditation, fix your mind upon the personality of Godhead. And then, set instruction number two, what you realize, make that the subject matter of your next composition. And call it Bhagavad Purana, because your realization will be realization of Bhagavan. So, Bhagavata, Purana. So these three verses describe Vyasa's realization. All the other verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam expand from these three verses. They're very important verses. And that's what we're going to discuss this evening. So, I've heard these verses hundreds and hundreds of times. So for me, they resonate volumes and volumes of meaning. So I'll just try to give you little bursts of message so you can carry it home with you. And then maybe read them. 1, 7, 4, 5, and 6. Canto 1, Chapter 7, verses 4, 5, and 6. Our acharyas have commented on them many, many, many times because of their importance. The essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is in these verses. So it starts, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pariyate Male Pashat Purusham Purnam Mayancha Tat Apashayam. That's the first verse. So the meaning is, Vyas, out of the order of Narada, he went to the sacred river, the Saraswati River, where he was seated, where his ashram was. He purified himself by touching water and sat down on the bank of the river and bhakti yogena manasi samya pranihate amale. In the trance of devotion, like, you know, we have some devotion, but it's not a trance because our minds was flickering. But Vyas had the capacity, and so under Narada's order, Samya completely fixed his mind upon the personality of Godhead in a trance of devotion. Samya pranihate amale. Amale means spotless. No mixture of anything else. Absolute. The trance. And then he had a vision. Apashyat, he saw Purusham Purnam. Purusham means person. And this is means the Supreme Person. Purnam means complete. So our acharyas describe it means he saw the personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. Because God is not alone. The reasoning goes, just like we say, the king is coming, the king is coming. Does that mean the king is moving down the road solitary? No. The king coming means his whole entourage, all of his military ministers and hoopla, you know, big production coming down the road. So, Apashat Purusham Purnam, this, I'll keep it, try to keep it short. He saw the whole spiritual world. He saw the Supreme Lord. He saw the personal expansions of the Supreme Lord. He saw the energetic expansions of the Supreme Lord. He saw the spiritual world. He saw the material world in fullness. Purusham Purnam. And Mayam Cha Yad Apashayam. He saw his energy. Specifically, this means his external energy. Tad Apashayam. Having taken his shelter. Literally, behind him, under his control. So normally we can't see God because we're seeing the material energy and not behind the material energy. Because we don't have that vision. But we're attracted to the material energy, so we don't see behind the material energy. But behind the material energy, there are tattva-darshis that see beyond the material energy. And when they see beyond the material energy, they see vidyavanayasampane brahmanikavihasini shunichayitsopakicha pandita samadarshana. They see the spiritual presence of a living being, and thus they see with equal vision the learned personality, vidya, vanaya, sampane, gavi. See the elephant, the dog, the dog eater, the learned Brahmin. You see them all. They're differently embodied. You can see the differences of body, but you can see the spiritual presence within. Not theoretically, but figuratively see. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of this knowledge, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, is to give direct perception of the self by realization. So, normally we don't see the Supreme Lord because we see the covering of the Supreme Lord in the form of his energy. like in the Isha Upanishad. Some of you may be familiar with Isha Upanishad. Nice verse. Hiran Mayena Patrena Satyasya Pitam Mukham. The prayer is there. My dear Lord, I want to see your Mukham, your face, but I can't see your face because you're Hiran Maya. Your dazzling effulgence is covering, so please remove that. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pihitam Mukham. Please remove your dazzling effulgence so I can see your form of bliss. Narada was able to see. It's like you move the cloud and you can see the sun directly. You can know that the sun is there, even there's a cloud, because there's symptoms, there's light. But seeing the sun is, knowing the sun is present, are different. Similarly, Vyasa is describing, he saw the personality of Godhead and his maternal energy because the maternal energy under the Lord's direction has moved. Just like, I don't know, someone's blocking your vision, you could say, excuse me please, but could you move just so I can... The Lord's Maya moves by His indication. By His indication, the Lord says, please, move. She moves. And we all saw it, because Maya had moved under the Lord's indication. Now we can see the Lord. Okay, so that's one of three verses. We're one third complete in the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Next, Vyas describes how he saw both the liberated and the conditioned state of the jiva. So there's God and there's His energy, then there's the jiva. That's three different entities. And there's time, and there's karma. So there's five subject matters found in Bhagavad Gita. Already he's describing three. Yayasam mohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam tatkritam chavipadyate. That's the second verse. So, moha means illusion or bewilderment. And some moha is complete bewilderment. So he saw the bewildered state of a living entity. Paropi, although he is transcendental, he thinks himself atmanam trivanatmakam. I'm part of this material nature. I'm a product of material nature. So, in the terms of the Bhagavad Gita, thinking of ourself as this body. Like if I think I'm Indian and you're American, that would be wrong. And if I think I'm American and you're Indian, that would be wrong. Because we're not this body. We're a real identity, as we're spirit soul. If you think in terms of the body, atmanam trigunatmakam, that's a bewildered state of the jiva. How does the living entity become bewildered? By thinking in false conception of self, I am who I am not. And who I am is who I am not. It's backwards. It's mistaken conception of self. If I mistake myself to be a product of matter, atmanam trigunatmakam, instead of the spirit soul part and parcel of the Supreme, my knowledge becomes covered. Neither will I understand myself, nor will I understand the Supreme. So if I don't understand myself and don't understand the Supreme, how can I be happy? But I want to be happy, so I pursue happiness in terms of who I think I am, this body. And so I'm very, very busy. A whole life, and for that matter, lifetime after lifetime, trying to find happiness by getting things to be mine, because that's going to make me happy. I'm his body. And I get more things, more toys, I'm happy. But that doesn't bring happiness. We think it brings us happiness, that's why we do it. But it doesn't bring happiness. We're just, I've been, it was explained, I often visit colleges, and one of the messages in a whole college tour that I made this past semester, the spring semester, was on this topic. The economics researchers themselves have studied the idea of consumer economics as a failure. The idea of you have more and then you're happy is false. Rather, you have more and you become more unhappy. That's the finding. They have, you know, I will, when I visit in November, I'm going to present this topic at Intel. The topic is going to be called Consumer Economics, Green Economics, and Beyond. But the consumer economics is, it's not what Hare Krishnas say or the Vedas say, it's what economists who are studying production and consumption, what's the result? And the result is people are less happy. You know, for the past 40, 45 years, statistics and study, because that's how they, you know, economists want to study, how you make the economy grow. So they're studying what makes the economy grow, and as the economy grows, those prosperous nations of the world, where they have more, and they have more choices, and more freedom, and more wealth to get those different, more things, they're not more happy. In so many measures. So, rather than detailing it, not only the Vedas say it, the economists say it. It doesn't bring happiness. If we identify, so the conclusion of this talk at Intel is we're going to have to adjust, if we want happiness, we have to adjust the conception of self. And it's not just consume green and you're happy. It's the conception of self. It has to be spiritualized. And the economists are saying this. And it aligns with the message of the Vedas. Aligned with the message of what Vyas realized. Vyas sammohita jiva atvanam trigunatmakam haropi manite anartam. Although they're transcendental, so there's the transcendental state where one doesn't think of oneself in terms of being a product of matter. If we don't think of ourselves in terms of a product of matter, who are we? We're spirit soul, part of Krishna. That's who we are. Tat kritam chavi padite, and kritam. They do all their activities in that consciousness, thus further entangling them in the complexities of material life. So the third, and then we're done for this evening. Vyasadeva had a realization about the cure or the mitigation process. Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madho sujay lokasya janatad vidvams chakre sakata samhita. That's the end of our presentation this evening, the third verse. That's the anartho pashamam sakshat, the mitigation. Anartha upasamam. The unwanted things, so the other word is abhadra, this is anartha. So similar. Abhadra is inauspicious, anartha is unwanted. They go in the same bucket, more or less. Those things that are unwanted are relieved. It's like, you know, it's a medical prescription from Dr. Vyasadeva. the prescription medicine is bhakti yoga matok sajay, the devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the senses, adhokshajunis, beyond the senses to perceive. Though beyond the senses to perceive the Supreme Lord, we engage in devotional service unto Him by using the senses. It's very interesting. I'll spend 2 minutes on this one. Narada Muni gives a definition of devotional service. Sarvapali Vinirmukham Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. He says, same thing that Vyasa is saying. The upadis, the designations, like I'm American and you're Indian. That's a designation of the body. It's like, you know, here's the label. It says, made in America. And yours says, made in India. Or in some cases, it's made in India and made in America because your parents were American, but you're born parents are Indian, but you're born in America. Well, the kids there, they have these two things. Made in India, born in America. So that's a designation. Upadhi. It's not who we are. Or I'm smart, I'm dumb, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm tall, I'm short, etc. All those things that we think of in terms of the bodily conception is not who we are, the upadhi. So sarvapadhi ginir muktam tat panatvena nirmalam. That's what bhakti is not. It's not the covering, but it's rishikena, rishikesha, sevanam, bhakti ruchite. With the senses we engage in the service of the master of the senses. Rishikena, rishikesha, sevanam, bhakti. That's with, as Vishnu Gada was describing yesterday, with priti purvakam, with love. We serve Krishna with love. We strive. Offerings are made. We prepare something. And we offer to Krishna with love. And that's bhakti. It's not just the act, it's the love. The Krishna accepts the love. So, the mitigating process is the awakening of bhakti. And how is bhakti going to be mitigated? By the process of hearing about Him. And that's the conclusion of this evening's presentation. By the act of hearing about Krishna, Krishna Katha, Srinvata Sakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Vidyantak Stogya Bhadrani, Vidyanokim Saritatam. The hearing Krishna Katha awakens our natural attraction for Krishna. That's how it works. We have Chinese, Japanese, Oriental, African, Mongolian, Siberian, Russian, European, Visayan, Dadian followers of Krishna, because the hearing of Krishna Katha has awakened that natural attraction for Krishna. It's very simple. Just like a matchbox. Take one match out of the match box and strike it on the striker. Fire comes out. Just like that. Leave it in the match box, it'll sit there for a long time. Long time. Just sit there. Take the match out of the match box, close the match box, hit down the striker. The fire comes out. So there's love for Krishna in the heart of every living being. Not even just human beings, all living beings. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It's already there. Shravanadi. Beginning with the process of Shravana and etc. Shravanadi. Hearing. Chanting. Shravanam. Kirtanam. Vishnu Smaranam. Padasevanam. Archanam. Vandanam. Sakyam. Dasyam. Atmani Vedanam. These processes of devotional service flow naturally from hearing and chanting. So, now we'll go back. and we're done. There's the hearing of the chanting of the holy name and hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by that hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the mitigating process, the anarthas, upasamam saksha, they're relieved in bhakti yogam adhoksate, the devotional service to the mood of wanting to love and serve Krishna awakens. And then all of our activities are directed that way. Just as Vishnu Kadha was explaining very nicely yesterday. The very same things that we do, you do. You cook, you eat, you work, you go to school, you study, you learn, you have family. Those things should be done with bhakti, with devotion to the Supreme. And how does that bhakti awaken? These two things. Chanting the holy name. Hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and bringing that message within your heart. And then living. So the intelligence is directed. You're directing your activity. And the heart is made pure. The two tracks of the train. And then you can reach the destination. Very easily. A very simple process. Very simple and sublime. Prabhupada would sometimes say simple for the simple, difficult for the crooked. But simple heart is not a bad thing. Simple heart is a good thing. Just taking this process and applying the process, and slowly one can experience the purity that comes. I was here at this clubhouse, I don't know how many years ago it was, the first time that I came to visit Portland. It was right here. Right in this very space. Some of the same children running up and around. That was another set of children plus those children. But now the numbers of persons has grown. And what is that effort that's made it grow? The same process. Chanting the holy name and hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and applying it in your life. So I invite you to chant and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Here there are classes for discussing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita that are held on a regular basis. Take it up and feel that you are making spiritual progress in a nice way, a very natural way. Thank you. Okay, any discussion? Questions?
Okay. I just want to tell you, please use this opportunity to ask Maharaj any question that you have related to spirituality. So Maharaj is very happy to answer it.
My experience is, because you don't know me, it'll take a while. Once questions start, it's the best part of any discussion, any time spent together.
This is a new place.
Okay, so, yes.
Concentrating on chanting, you know, it's difficult.
Concentrating on chanting is difficult.
Sometimes
it's difficult even to start chanting. You want to, at least I tend to postpone chanting, you know, afterwards, afterwards. And don't get to chant as many as you want to. How can we overcome this? Well, in the beginning of, like Vishnu Vedanta described, he gave this example of jaundice. Remember yesterday evening at the temple? Sugar candy, mystery. By nature is sweet, but someone who has jaundice, they don't like it. Although it's sweet, it tastes bitter. I had jaundice once, I had that experience. So, the nature of rock candy is it's sweet. But in the beginning it may taste the opposite. But because we have some faith in the physician who says take it, it's good, then you take it because it's dutiful. So in the beginning we may take up the activities of bhakti because they're to be done. They're prescribed by the spiritual physician for us, for purification. But gradually, gradually, by taking good medicine, the disease becomes cured. And the age develops. I spent some time, not this past, I lost track of time. Maybe it was it this past weekend? Last weekend? You were in Karnataka? Last weekend. Wow. Seemed like 2 weeks ago. A group of us went to a farm community in British Columbia called Sharanagati. And we spent some time together focusing on chanting japa nicely. And the experience of many was that although normally it's a struggle, with focus to chant together was very powerful. Very, very powerful. Hey children, you're being children. What's wrong with you? So, practice because it's dutiful. And by doing something that's factually good for you, you do it on a regular basis, it becomes something that's very natural. First time you drove a car, how was it? Very difficult. But then it becomes like second nature. It's not, you hardly think about it. Riding bicycle. And that's just motor skills. This is from the heart. This is the most natural thing for the soul. It's to call for the parent, the Supreme Father, Krishna. Perfectly natural. But it feels unnatural because we're so maturely conditioned. Infatuated with the material energy. That's our disease state. So we take the medicine that turns out to be very nice. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that happiness, which in the beginning seems to be like poison, but later turns into nectar, to happiness in the mode of goodness. Happiness in the mode of passion, in the beginning seems to be like nectar, turns out to be poison. And happiness in the mode of ignorance is bitter in the beginning and in the end, and in the middle. Suffering. But happiness in the mode of goodness initially doesn't look so attractive. But when one becomes purified by it, it becomes nectar. We should take it like that. Okay. So we'll have Arti. Thank you all for coming. Oops. Hare Krishna, I'm sorry. You're right in front of me. Gau Pati Jai. How do you make progress in spiritual life without losing which? Without losing enthusiasm for spiritual life. And we can't make progress in spiritual life without enthusiasm for spiritual life. So we can't. So how do you develop sustained enthusiasm is your question. Several things. There's so many things, but I'll just do several. One is to associate with those who are enthusiastic. You know any enthusiastic devotees? I do. Associate with those enthusiastic devotees. You become enthusiastic. Very simple principle. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, according to the association we keep, we develop qualities like those with whom we associate. So associate with those who are enthusiastic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, second point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches that you must have a spiritual conception, otherwise you can't sustain enthusiasm. Say it reverse. If you have a material conception, your enthusiasm will because the enthusiasm is based upon some internal incentive. I want relief from this something unwanted. Now I get relief from the something unwanted, there goes my enthusiasm. So sustained enthusiasm requires a spiritual conception. So therefore Krishna presents in Bhagavad Gita, first thing, spiritual conception. Isn't it? The difference between that and the spirit is you're on the spirit side. With a spiritual conception, proceed. A third point I've already mentioned. The third point is practice. Abhyasa yoga yukteena. There's no substitute for, like anything, practice. Often when you first started practicing piano, was it easy? But by practice and practice and practice, it becomes second nature. So, practice with a spiritual conception in the association of enthusiastic devotees, then your enthusiasm will sustain. The mode of goodness will support and sustain enthusiasm, provided the material conception, that is the fruitive tendency, slackens. That is, instead, for purification purpose, for purifying our existence, that takes the mode of goodness to have that purpose. We frame our life in activities that are of the quality of goodness. Kindness, regulation of habit, truthfulness, compassion, acts of kindness, concern, care, study of the scripture. All these things are, frame your life in those qualities of goodness, and do those things mentioned, and you can sustain enthusiasm for spiritual life. And make steady spiritual life.
How can we differentiate between mode of goodness and mode of passion? Because sometimes what we do, we feel that we are doing it for mode of goodness, but that may be done by mode of passion.
Okay.
Finding something from the
family. What are symptoms of both? The symptoms of passion are fruitive in intention, intense endeavor to achieve some result, wanting to own, wanting to control, wanting to be the enjoyer of, dominating, predominating, owning, controlling, passion, symptoms of passion, symptoms of goodness, I just mentioned. Any acts that are done outside of the bodily conception, or beyond the bodily conception, acts that are expressions of truth, compassion and kindness, selfless act, purity, simplicity, this is as Krishna describes, sama dhammah tapakshotam shantir arjavam evaja jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma paramasambhavati. So, those are features of the mode of goodness, work, or activity that's performed in the quality of goodness. If the symptom is, your mind is very steady, steadiness, being very consistent in your mood, not depending upon circumstance, but internally moved. Tapa, control of the senses. Chocham, cleanliness. Arjavam, astika, follower of religious principles, just by nature. One cannot deviate from religion, from dharma. Those are symptoms of the quality of goodness. One doesn't do something because you'll get ahead. It doesn't matter what compromise you make in principle. You just want to get ahead. That's passion. And there's a lot of force of passion around us, but that's the person in the quality of goodness that isn't moved like that. So some of the ways to cultivate goodness, according to scripture, starts with the tongue, believe it or not. That which you speak and that which you taste, the two functions of the tongue. What you vibrate and what goes in. What goes out, what goes in. And the quality of goodness is best moderated by that. Eat foods only in the quality of goodness and speak messages only in the quality of goodness. Otherwise you don't speak. It's a challenge, isn't it?
Exactly. Every time you have to basically just push over more passion, otherwise nobody will take your presence
there. Well, in the competitive world, yes. But I know devotees who are very successful in their profession, and they are very much in the quality of goodness. And their speech is symptomatic of the quality of goodness. I'll give one example. It's a remote example. I can think of some proximate examples, but a remote example is, you ever been to Vrindavan? Yeah, Vrindavan, India. In downtown Vrindavan, there's a shopping area that many people go to, Lloyd Bazaar. You've been to Lloyd Bazaar? Okay. It's passion. They got people calling out, go over here, buy this, buy that, buy over here, buy my shop. There's one merchant that doesn't do that. He just always gives you an honest price. I've been to other, his little advertisement. Ganga Prasad is an honest merchant. Some other merchants I've gone to, you order this, you say, I'll come back later to pick it up, and they'll give you that instead of this. And, you know, if you don't look, you won't even know. You go back home and say, wait a minute, I didn't get this, I got that. Like I was once buying a set of clothes. So there's three pieces, the Uttariya piece, and the Kurta piece, and the Dhoti piece, and they had three different fabrics. Because they were leftovers, and you know, this is a guy that's never going to check, he's just this sannyasi, he doesn't care. I'll give him this piece, that piece, leftover pieces, and I'm never going to go back to that shop again. I'll go to Ganga Prasad, because he's honest. Now maybe it's just, you know, a good commercial way to get business by being honest. But, you know, that's not how most merchants think. It's different. So, he's a very humble man. Very simple man. But he's very honest. So, one can be like that. You can give other examples and other examples. Now, it doesn't mean when circumstance calls for it, you can't be very direct and strong. But that may be called for also. But if you have to be very direct and strong, you do so in it as a devotee, at least, for a purpose, for serving Krishna purpose, not, you know, I'm strong, look out, don't mess with me. It's for a serving Krishna purpose. To uphold the principle. At least express your conviction and principle. And not compromise and cheat and, you know, backstab and do some of the other things that people do in the name of getting ahead. This, you know, person with quality goodness doesn't do that. They stand by their merit. They stand by the truth. This is an expandable topic, but there's a one answer to your question. Anything else? Yes.
Raj, we over so much about years, like 30, 33 years, and so we even develop a lot of conditions. have a certain way of speaking, a certain way of thinking, and talking, and behaving. And it may not be always conducive, our conditions, to advance into something. And many times, you know, when we are doing a spiritual, going on a spiritual path, it's very difficult because our conditions really prevent us from being on this path. So, how do we ever just recondition ourselves?
According to Vyas, anato pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga matotite. So, by the process of hearing and chanting the message of transcendence, it lifts our conditioning above, or our nature above our conditioning to a transcendental position. It may very well be that in the beginning we bring some of that conditioning with us into the process of devotional service. But if we're clear what the goal is to become pure, then that conditioning will fade. Nashta prayeshu abhidreshu, same. I quoted that verse. Nityam bhagavat. So nityam, by regularly doing two things, rendering service unto the person bhagavat and hearing the message of bhagavat, then nashta prayeshu abhidreshu, that conditioning becomes practically, gradually, practically destroyed to nil. That's statement from the Bhagavatam, and it requires some faith. But that's the medicine. You know, they got the diagnosis, the pulse of the situation. Conditioning is very strong here. I recommend this medicine for you. Hearing and chanting. And serving the person Bhagavat. Hearing the message Bhagavat. Chanting the holy name. Can you do that? I can take that medicine, sure. I got this conditioned tendency, but I have faith in the medicine. We take the medicine on a regular basis, faithfully. That condition subsides. A good Ayurvedic physician will tell you this. Remember hearing the Guru Maharaj describe the Ayurvedic physician he recently went to, said these very words. My Ayurvedic physician says the same thing. What I can do for you is I can bring your health condition to a point of balance so that when you leave here, you're healthy. But what you do after you leave here is going to determine whether you stay healthy or the prior condition will again return. You have to change your habits. Some of your life habits have to change, at least for some time, to allow the integration of this balance to like sustain and support. You have to change some of your life style. So at the in terms of our habits, our lifestyle, are some very basic things, like what we eat, what we don't eat. Eating in the quality of good, controlling the tongue. Can't eat anything and drink anything and speak anything and maintain the quality of goodness. So you eat, but you have to eat in the quality of goodness. And so on. Regulate your habits to match the quality of goodness, along with the hearing and chanting process. And then those conditioned tendencies fade. That's our medicine. That's the Bhagavatam message. It's the direction of life, along with that which purifies the heart, the chanting of the holy name. Conditioning can change. Prabhupada was once asked about, I heard there's this really good pumice. Is it okay to go to a pumice? They asked Prabhupada. He said, you don't care so much for those things. Because you get the reading from the pumice, and then you go to kirtan and you dance in kirtan and clap in kirtan, and after kirtan, the lines in your palm have changed. So just go to kirtan, clap and dance. Your future will change. Your destiny will change by spiritual influence. So we have our conditioned nature, but we also have our pure spiritual identity. And that's stronger And when that spiritual identity is awakened, the conditioned tendencies can be eliminated naturally, not just struggling. Devi Shigunamani Mamamaya Duraktiya. Difficult struggle. But Mam Eve Prapadyante Mayamitam Tarantite. We can easily cross beyond that just by surrendering to Krishna. I'm going to end. I have a morning flight. I have to leave the house at 5 a.m. and pack my bag before that. So I'm going to go to RT. And after RT, I'm going to exit stage left. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada. Thank you.